Romans chapter number 3. We're going to talk a little bit about the law. Just a little bit about the law today. And a lot of confusion out there about the law. And by the grace of God, we'll try to unravel that mess a little better today. And we'll look at some things that hopefully and prayerfully, maybe a Seventh-day Adventist will come across this message and they'll just decide to just trust Jesus Christ and nothing else. Amen. And I don't do that to attack them. I do that because I want to see everybody saved, trusting Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord's will is. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that should be our will too. Amen. So in Romans chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now I'm going to start out by talking about three things about the law. The law in verses 19 and 20. And we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. First thing I want to notice is that the law shows man's guilt. The law shows man's guilt. The law was never intended to save. The law was intended to show man could not save himself. The law was intended to show man his weakness, to show man his wickedness, to show man his unwillingness to try to please God sometimes and the inability to do it all the time. So the law is given. Remember, the Bible says the law was given as a schoolmaster, and that schoolmaster was to teach us something. And you're driving down the road, you're driving, I don't know, probably you're headed to lunch, you're running 75 and a 30, right? And you get pulled over, and you know what the law is trying to do? It's trying to teach you something. It's trying to tell you you were wrong and trying to tell you how to get right. Don't do this again. That's what the law, God gave the law to show us that we are wrong. So if you think God showed you the law so you could keep the law and say, look at me, God, look at me, look how great I am, you're wrong. Amen. The law was given as a schoolmaster, and that schoolmaster pointed out our insufficiency and pointed to Jesus Christ. So the law shows man's guilt. In 21 and 22, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Remember, isn't that something? When Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, guess who was with him? The law and the prophets. You know what they were doing? They were testifying to the Jews that their Messiah was standing there on the Mount of Transfiguration. So it's being witnessed. He's being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So the law shows man's guilt, and the law shows God's righteousness. Boy, if people just get a hold of that. Say, well, the Ten Commandments. Well, there are a lot more than just Ten Commandments anyway, but if you just look at the Ten Commandments, you're going to find out how righteous God is and how unholy and unrighteous you really are, we really are, amen? So it shows man's guilt, and it shows God's righteousness. God has held up a standard that man is unable to meet. We just can't do it. We're incapable. We can't meet God's standard. We can want to, and that should be our heart's desire. Lord, I don't want to have a murderous heart. I don't want to have a fornicating heart. I don't want to have a lying spirit. I don't want to have any of that stuff. I just want to line up with you and line up with your word. But you know, the only man that ever lived that way perfectly was the man Jesus Christ. So the law shows man's guilt, and the law shows God's righteousness. You know what else it shows? Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. How do you get around that? Once God shines that light of truth in your heart, I don't know how people get around that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Come on, say it with me. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. See, there's a verse for you. When they come and say, well, you got to work to get it, you got to work to keep it. No, I can take you to Romans chapter number 3, verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It's not of works. So the law shows us our guilt. It shows us God's righteousness. You know what else it shows? It shows God's mercy and His grace. I mean, God gave you a set of rules He knew you couldn't keep. Then He sent His Son you didn't deserve. He died to pay a debt you couldn't pay, to give you eternal life you don't deserve. Because He's merciful and long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, He gave you an opportunity to come to repentance and trust Jesus Christ and just check your so-called righteousness at the door and trust Jesus Christ. It shows God's mercy, and it shows God's grace. It shows God's righteousness. We're going to travel a little bit here. Turn to Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to look at His righteousness. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to start off here. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus Christ's righteousness is on our account. So our sins were as scarlet, now they're as white as snow. They're not just covered, they're gone. As far as the east is from west, and it's just an amazing thing. Because of His righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 10. I tell you, we're going to travel a little bit. Romans chapter 10. We're going to be in Romans for a few minutes here. Romans chapter number 10. Beginning in verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's talking about Jesus Christ's righteousness. And we need His righteousness. Look again at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So not the righteousness of your works. Right? Remember what the Bible says? All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible says in the New Testament, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a man, woman, or child that's righteous. The only man that was ever righteous, they nailed to a tree and he shed his blood for you. And it's his righteousness. So how are you getting? I'm getting in because of his righteousness, amen. Because he is righteous, not because I'm righteous. If anything ever righteous ever happens in my life or your life, praise the Lord, he's working through you, doing something, and he gets the glory for it. I mean, we're a mess. We're just dust. He knows our frame. We're worms. We're dogs. We're nobody. We're nothing. We're an enemy of the truth without Christ. So I just think if I could do this, that, or the other, I might be. I think if I could go to that church, join that church, do that, do the other, and maybe not do this, not do that. I got a list of things. If I don't do them and I do these other things, I'll probably get in. No, the only way you're going to get in is if you get in through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, that righteous Lamb, that sacrifice, that Passover Lamb. Amen. The only way you're getting in is by accepting the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. So we're going backwards. Well, you know, Hebrews written backwards. Just deal with it. Hang on. Bear with me. Romans chapter 4. Now we're going to look at Abraham. Let's start in verse 20. Talking about Abraham. He staggereth not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Are you fully persuaded that what God promised he's able to perform? I mean, he's going to call us out of here one day. Undertaker, Undertaker, we're going to heaven. I believe he's not only able, he's willing. And he will do it. Amen. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. I'm going to back up and read 21 again. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham believed God, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. But it was not, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So, well, if you just got to believe Jesus died for you, it's not just the death. The good news is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. The only reason there could be a resurrection is because he was righteous. The righteous can't be resurrected on their own merit. He resurrected himself. He had the power to lay his life down and the power to take it up again. He could do that because he is righteous. It's his righteousness. It's not ours. The reason your sins are the reason your sin is white as snow and looks like wool is because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4 again. Look over to verse 5. But to him that worketh not. How about that? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. That's us. His faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know what that is right there? There's your eternal security again. Again. David said, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's Christ's righteousness. I talked to people before. I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I hope so. I think so. Maybe so. I'm pretty sure. I've done this. I've said this. I've done that. I've said that. I've been through this. I've been through that. I've done this work. I think God's just going to let me in. And I said, I'm not getting in that way. God is sneaking me in. He covered my wicked self up, and he placed me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when God the Father looks at me, that seamless robe, that robe that was sewn from in and without, without seam, that they didn't part when Jesus died on the cross, that cloak of righteousness God has placed on me. He has given the blood of Jesus Christ and placed it on my account. He has put the death, burial, and resurrection on my account. He put the trip to hell Jesus Christ made for me on my account. I'm getting in because God is smuggling me in Christ. Amen. Because of His righteousness. Oh, you once saved, always saved, people. You just think you're saved. I think I'm dirt. Matter of fact, I'll go further. I know I am. But I'll tell you what, I have a Savior. And I have, by the grace of God, through the mercy of God, by the long-suffering will of God, I have the righteousness of that Savior. It's His righteousness. So what if I mess up? You still have His righteousness. How could I mess up and not be punished for it? Well, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where the works are going to be shaken out, burned up. You know, but I have His righteousness. I don't have to, you know, make an on-purpose or a mistake and then wonder, oh, good night, Lord, what do I do now? Well, get right with God so He can use you or wants to use you. But I still have Christ's righteousness. Look what David said again. Let's jump down here, verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is David. And David found favor with God because he trusted God. He was a good king. You know, David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You are in Christ. You know what happens when you become in Christ? God will not impute sin to your soul. You're clean. You have His righteousness. Now we're supposed to live like it. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Take it right there. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. The righteousness of God. Why would God step down into this world? Well, because His righteousness had to be here for us to get out of here and go to the right place. You realize if you die and go to hell, you're going the wrong place? If people die and go to hell are out of God's will. You don't go to hell because God wants to send you there. You go to hell because you reject the fact that God didn't want you to go there and sent His only begotten Son to give you His righteousness. You want to live in your righteousness, help yourself, but hell's eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I got talking and didn't turn all the way over there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He made His sinless Son to become sin for us so we could have the righteousness of God. Isn't that something? Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I promise you, you'll get to your pot roast here in a little while, but right now we're going to talk about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's worthy, amen. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. And be not found in Him having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Isn't it something? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, as your Lord and Savior, you have God's righteousness. God that has never thought a wrong thought, God that has never done a wrong deed, God that has never told a wrong statement, God that has never done anything wrong in His entire being from eternity past to eternity future. He's always right. You have His righteousness. Somebody that's done very little right has eternal righteousness both directions from God. Isn't that something? You know, God looks at your past, you know what He sees? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know what God sees when He looks at your present? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know what God sees when He looks at your future? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that that coat was without seam. Amen. I don't want me peeking through. I'd get in trouble. I'm covered by His robe. Titus chapter 3. Just take a right there a little ways. Titus chapter 3. Look at Look at verse 5. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the Baptists trembled because they don't like that word Holy Ghost. They want a Holy Spirit. It's a Holy Ghost. It's a working of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Ghost is the working of that person. And that person, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, took you out of your sin and placed you in the righteousness of God Himself. Isn't that something? I have God's, you have God's righteousness. That's not to pat yourself on the back. That's to say, praise God. You gave this filthy worm that deserved to burn in hell like bacon forever, you gave me your righteousness so you could smuggle me in, amen? It's about His robe. It's about His robe. I'll tell you what I think. I've got white privilege. I was thinking about this the other day. I got white privilege, and I ain't ashamed to admit it. White privilege? I do. I have white privilege. And I'm not talking about skin color, because Jesus Christ was olive skin. I'm not white. I'm cream colored. Amen? Yeah. Most of the darker folks are not black. They're brown. But I got white privilege. You ought to get you some of that. Amen? You know, I got white privilege. I got a white robe that this filthy sinner does not deserve that was given to me by Jesus Christ. I got white privilege. It doesn't matter what color you are. You ought to get yourself some white privilege. Amen? So when they talk about, you know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and the Bidens and the Trumps and this, that, and the other, and, oh, we're going to, you know, women's lib and black rights and Black History Month. How about Jesus Christ History Month? How about that? How about we have Jesus Christ History Day every day and get yourself some white privilege? Hey, you'll burn in hell without it. I'm glad I have white privilege, amen? I thank God for my white privilege. It has nothing to do with my skin color. It has to do with the sin color that God took care of. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I've got white privilege. If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you got white privilege. I wish we was in a black church today. You know why? Because I'd preach about white privilege, amen? I got it. I didn't earn it. Don't deserve it. But I got it because Jesus Christ gave it to me. I've got white privilege. You could have it too. You could have it too. All you got to do is trust Jesus Christ. You got to realize for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but to get to God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You get those verses down your heart and you say, Lord, I'm wicked. I deserve to die and burn in hell. I'm filthy. I'm just in a mess. And I need you to save me. Please forgive me and save me. Guess what you get? You get white privilege, amen. You get white privilege. We need to get us, we're going to start us a white privilege Bible, amen. I got white privilege and it has nothing to do with my filthy skin. It has everything to do with my paid for sin. I got white privilege. You know, the news media, they take that and they just make, you know, oh, you're white privilege. What is the white privilege? I'll tell you something. I was not born in the privileged part, into the privileged part of town. Let me tell you something about law enforcement. They profile, and they don't do it by skin color. Sometimes they might. What they usually do is by what you drive. Where you're at, what time it is, what it appears you're doing, what you might be doing, what has been told you are doing. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I drove cars that sometimes the junkyard didn't want. Amen? You laugh. But you'd be surprised how much silicone I used to seal the roof on a 77 Monte Carlo one time. Amen. You get your shower in the seat. Amen. It dripped in the seat so long it put holes in the red velvet, crushed velvet blur seat things, you know. You get in there and squishy. You got to seal that thing up. But I found out one thing. If you're driving that type of vehicle and you're in the wrong part of the town, you're going to get attention. Amen. It's not all about skin color. Some of it has to do with these people that do this often drive this type of vehicle in this type of area. These people, you know what I mean? Give the law enforcement a break. Good night, man. They're doing the best they can to try to stop crime. Now, I know there's some knuckleheads out there. Now, I understand that. There always is. There always will be until the Lord fixes it. But for the most part, they look at what they can see and what it appears to be and try to make a decision that'll get them home safe at night and try to stop the crime. or prevent the crying of the hen. Aren't you glad they do that? I'm glad they do that. You know, even folks that I know that have lived in black neighborhoods, you know what they were glad of? When the police showed up and stopped things that were wrong. Amen. You know what there were times I wish the cops would have showed up. Amen. Amen. You know, this life ain't MMA. There ain't no referees. If you get in a fight on the streets, there ain't nobody going to go, whoop, up, into this round. You're like, where are the police when you need one? Amen. but I'll tell you what, when I got saved, I got white privilege. I am so glad I've got that. I am so glad that God has given me eternal fire insurance. Amen. I don't have to worry about going to hell because He has given me a seamless robe of righteousness that only His Son, Jesus Christ, deserved. Isn't that something? And He gave you the same thing. Well, you know what comes with that white privilege? I get some inheritance that I don't deserve. I don't have to go to hell because I have it. I get to go to heaven because I have it. I get to be with Jesus Christ because I have it. We get to see loved ones that have gone on before us because I have it. We get to come back in a kingdom on this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ because you have it. We get to live forever with not one second of fear of flames because I have it. I'm glad I've got it. Got to get you some. Amen. I want people to, no. The only way you're going to heaven is by getting some of that white privilege, amen. Having that white, that perfect, spotless Lamb of God's account applied to yours. I'm glad God's long-suffering and merciful, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's so merciful that He gave us a law to point Him to His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave us a law to show His righteousness. And He fulfilled it. Jesus Christ didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law to show His mercy and His grace. Aren't you glad you're saved? If you're not, boy, you need to get saved today. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried and rose for me, and offered me eternal life. And I'm glad that God worked on my heart till I took it. If you're here today, you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your garments will not get you in. There's a specific garment you have to wear to get into heaven, and that's the white robe of righteousness from Jesus Christ.